20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me on this Packers game day. We have got a ton to dive into in this game, and we'll start with the obvious. Jordan Love is out for this game against Baltimore. Saturday Night Football. Green Bay's clinched a playoff berth already, so there is still some stuff that's on the line. They've clinched a playoff berth, but they do have the ability still to win the division at this point in time. They need some help from Chicago. Chicago's got to lose two. Green Bay's got to win two. They ideally, or at least theoretically, can get up to the 2, 3, 5, or 6 seed still, depending on what happens this season. I don't think Green Bay wants to lose a third consecutive game. So while the playoffs are already clinched, thanks to Minnesota beating Detroit Christmas Day, there is still a lot that Green Bay is fighting for and wants to pick up a win. Well, now they're going to have to do so with Jordan Love out, with Malik Willis making the start. Remember, Malik dealt with not only injury to the shoulder, but illness this week. We'll see how close that he is to 100% in this game, but he is now going to have to try to lead them to a win over Baltimore on Saturday Night Football. That was not the only injury news either. Aaron Banks and Savion Williams, they now get this illness that's been crashing through the locker room. I know there's been some norovirus stuff going around Wisconsin. I don't know what this is or what it's been that's been causing all these Packers to be out with illness, but it is rapidly spreading through that Packers locker room. We'll talk about that more momentarily, but Aaron Banks, Savion Williams added as questionable with that illness. Christian Welch, meanwhile, goes to injured reserve. That could open up a roster spot that they are going to need come Saturday. And yes, Green Bay does still have the ability to make those roster moves. One of them is going to clearly be to add Clayton Thune, probably as a elevation to the roster so that they have a backup quarterback to Malik Willis in this game. Let's get right away to our Habish Rotier injury report. We'll start with the Ravens because that's the easier one. Lamar Jackson is still doubtful and he did not practice this week at all. He is unlikely to play Tyler Huntley, the likely starting quarterback for Baltimore. They have two players who are on their injured list that are trying to come back. Taven Bryant, who has already been ruled out, and then Jay Higgins, the fourth, who is questionable. Doesn't really matter one way or the other. The big thing here is Lamar Jackson. Doubtful, not out. Doubtful. And we'll see if he somehow makes a miraculous recovery and plays. But for right now, expectations are that Tyler Huntley is the starting quarterback in this game. Out for Green Bay. Well, Christian Welch is now on IR. John Williams and Jordan Love. All right, so Jordan Love out. That's the big one. We talked about it. As far as just taking a quick side quest here on Jordan Love, whether this was Green Bay being cautious or just not, you know, testing out of the protocol, et cetera, either way, he does not play this week. I would assume no matter what, you want Jordan to play some next week against Minnesota, even if that game is irrelevant, they can't help their seeding or anything like that. I would think that they want him to play at least a drive, a quarter, something, just to get a little bit of playing time, but we'll see how they handle that next week. Hopefully he clears the concussion protocol early and it's not any conversation next week, but that will be worth monitoring as well. But this is an interesting scenario. And of course, if they're playing for the division next week, I would assume Jordan's a starter and going out there and playing the entirety of that game. But either way, out for this week, hopefully back next week if needed, and or at least for a little bit to maybe knock a little bit of that rust off. But concussion for Jordan again, and until he, you know, passes through protocol, it's a non-starter. You can't really have much discussion one way or the other of what you should do. Just got to clear through that protocol first. So John Williams and Jordan Love, again, out for this game. Questionable players who practice this week are Evan Williams and Malik Willis. All right, so we know Willis is going to make the start. That's been reported already. Evan Williams did practice, so hopefully that's a sign that he can play. As you try to stop Derrick Henry, he could be very important. Then we've got this illness thing that's going around. And players who are questionable due to the illness, Bo Melton, Sean Ryan, Christian Watson, Aaron Banks, and Savion Williams. And then you have Zach Tom, who doesn't have the illness, but was questionable and did not practice all week long. The other thing that we need to note here is that while it's Melton, Ryan, Watson, Banks, and Williams that are currently listed as questionable with an illness, there have been new players popping up with this illness every single day for Green Bay. It's not entirely out of the question that, you know, a brand new slew of players could end up with this illness on Saturday. And that could change things as well for Green Bay. So even if Melton, Ryan, Watson, Banks, and Williams are all good to go, there could be three, four, five more players that pop up on Saturday that wake up sick and can't play with their illness. And that's just how it's been kind of spreading through the locker room right now. So these are the players we know right now. But because of the way that this illness has been spreading, I just don't think that we can say for sure that they have, you know, anyone for sure available for this game. Who knows what Saturday is going to bring? Hopefully, as you're listening to this and as you're getting ready for game day, there's been no additions and everyone's good to go. But it is a real question mark with how many players have been sick so far this week. And it's literally been basically like a new player added to the illness list every single day. And again, there's no reason to say that that can't be Saturday as well. So keep an eye out for that. Just going to recap it. Jordan Love, John Williams, Christian Welch are out. Evan Williams and Malik Willis practice this week are questionable. We know Malik is good to go. Bo Melton, Sean Ryan, Christian Watson, Aaron Banks, Savion Williams, all fighting illness. Zach Tom, still questionable coming back from his injury. I do not expect Tom to play, but if he does, that would be a pleasant surprise. As far as call-ups go, Jamin Johnson, I would expect that he gets signed to the active roster. Not just a call-up, but I would expect he gets signed to the active roster to replace Christian Welch and becomes a core special teamer for Green Bay. Just a guess, but that'd be, I think, the educated guess in that situation. Clayton Thune will get called up as a roster elevation, and I would assume either McKellen Castles or Drake Dabney, their two practice squad tight ends, one of those two get called up as well. However, they potentially have issues on the offensive line. Zach Tom, very questionable. I don't think he plays in this game, but I hope I'm wrong. And then you've got two other players, Sean Ryan and Aaron Banks, who are questionable with the illness. If all of a sudden either of them can't go, you now have Zach Tom out and one of those two out. You need to call somebody up from the practice squad to get to your active roster. So there could be one more transaction. If all three of them can't go, you probably need to sign two because you need eight for game day. And then it gets a little bit tricky. Players who have to be on the watch out, Nasir Stackhouse and Bohanna, the new defensive tackle, those two would be the ones where I think if they had to make a roster move, could be the ones that are on the cut block. But either way, definitely worth keeping an eye on with all the illness issues that are going through. And with some of those players like Evan Williams and Zach Tom, who are true questionable players due to injury, who can play, who cannot, and that's going to be a huge factor in this game. And that brings us to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game, or in this case, players to watch. All right, I had two listed initially with the Jordan Love injury. Malik Willis, clearly a player to watch in this one as well. But I'm going Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, the two linebackers. Here's why. They kind of have double duty in this one. Derrick Henry is its own pain in the ass sort of situation, right? He is such a difficult player to get to the ground, and you have to be so active and you have to tackle so incredibly well and rally to the football that Quay and Cooper are going to have so much responsibility for trying to get Derrick Henry down and make sure that he does not get going in a significant way in this game. That's the first part. But also, whether it's Tyler Huntley or Lamar Jackson, you also have to be willing to keep them in the pockets, by the quarterback, contain them, and make sure that they're not winning with their legs. And that adds another layer of issues to that linebacker position. Not to mention Mark Andrews, running backs catching the ball out of the backfield, Zay Flowers attacking the middle of the field. It is going to be a lot that is on the plate for both Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper in this game. I thought Cooper actually had probably his worst game of the season last week. Quay has been pretty good. I think he's been pretty solid as of late since coming back from the injury. But either way, those two are going to have a very good and very important game to contain Derrick Henry, Tyler Huntley, or Lamar Jackson, and the rest of this Ravens offense. If those two can have good games, I feel really good about Green Bay. If not, could be a long day trying to tackle Derrick Henry and get him to the ground. So key games for our two Luigi's Pizza players to watch, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker. Here's what I'm watching in this game. My 12 keys, my 12 things that I want to watch. Number one, injuries/inactives. It's the same thing for like the billionth consecutive week, it feels like, but certainly for back-to-back weeks. Now, we know Jordan's out. That brings me to how effective can Malik Willis be? Evan Williams and Zach Tom are going to be major decisions in this game. And then Lamar Jackson, while he's doubtful, and I don't expect him to play, if all of a sudden Lamar does, that changes the stakes a little bit in this one. Makes things tougher. Even if he's not 100%, this is an MVP quarterback. I know he's not having the year. I know he's been super banged up. I know this is not your normal Lamar. I still don't want to see that Lamar. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not hoping he's hurt or anything like that. I would want everyone to be healthy. I wish Micah and Jordan and Lamar were all healthy in this game. It would be a lot more fun game, but we know that's not the case. And if given my choice between even a banged up Lamar or a healthy Tyler Huntley, I would rather face the healthy Tyler Huntley. So that's what I'm looking for first and foremost, is who's actually capable of playing. And then especially with Malik Willis, just with him having that illness and injury throughout the course of the week, how effective can he be? Green Bay is going to have to find a way to establish the run with Malik. I would assume they don't want him throwing the ball 20, 30, 40 times in this one. So this is going to have to be a very balanced approach. Malik might have to win with his legs a little bit more. Josh Jacobs is going to have to do some heavy lifting. Emmanuel Wilson, the offensive line, doing some good run blocking up front. But start there, see what you can get going, and then hopefully Malik doesn't have to throw a ton, take any more hits to that shoulder, use that shoulder too much, and hopefully they can get through this game with a win and then get Jordan back next week. Number two, I'm not breaking any news here. You've got to find a way to slow down Derrick Henry. He is still an unbelievable running back. It is absurd, you know, how good he has been for so long. It is still no easier to try to get him to the ground. And it was, what else is absurd is he was helping them win the game last week. And then somehow, some way, they didn't really put him in towards the end of the game. I have a feeling he's going to be running a little bit pissed off because of that. And I have a feeling Baltimore maybe learned their lesson, is like, yeah, we got to make sure that guy's on the field. If they're going to win this game, it's going to be at the hands and feet of Derrick Henry. I can't say enough of how important of a player he is, how good of a player he is, and how important it's going to be for Green Bay to just slow him up. Listen, if he has like 25 carries for 105 yards and a touchdown or something, you can still win that game. He's at like 160 and three touchdowns. Good luck. That's going to be one to, you know, hang with him, and it's not going to be easy. To me, this is the 1A ultimate player in this game. You've got a lot of injuries, a lot of people beat up. Derrick Henry's often inflicting the pain, not the one that's in pain. And Green Bay right now doesn't need any more injuries or big six, you know, foot, whatever, 200, whatever pound running backs trying to run them down. We'll see how Green Bay is trying to tackle, rally to the football. And as Matt LaFleur said earlier this week, population to the football is going to be huge for getting Derrick Henry to the ground. Number three is red zone efficiency, specifically for Green Bay on offense. They were one of the top 10 teams for a long portion of the season in red zone efficiency. And as of late, the last 4 weeks, they've been a bottom five team. It's a huge swing. We saw it rear its ugly head in Denver. We saw it rear its ugly head in Chicago. And if they can't get out of their own way in the red zone, they are going to struggle to put up points, and Baltimore is just going to win. So Green Bay has to find a way to get those red zone opportunities, which they have done a great job of, but then being far more potent when they get in the red zone and converting those into touchdowns. Or even last week, heck, a field goal or two more on their five drives into the red zone would have won them the game. So red zone efficiency, getting touchdowns, getting that point production, really key. Now, it makes it important too that you stop Baltimore and their red zone opportunities. But the biggest thing as of late is Green Bay's really struggled in the offensive side of the red zone, and they've got to do a much, much better job there. Number four, how does Green Bay respond to adversity again? These are two brutal weeks back to back with injuries, with losses to Chicago and Denver. Now Jordan Love is out this week. There's a huge illness running through the locker room. Other injuries are rearing their ugly head. Probably don't have Zach Tom again. How do you deal with this? And Green Bay has continued to respond pretty damn well. They should have beat the Bears last week, but they haven't been able to close the deal. And they've got to get this thing trending back in the right direction. Another loss is just going to feel extremely painful. And now it's like you're going to Minnesota on a game that doesn't really matter for anything. That one, even if you win, you're not going to really gain any momentum from it. And if somehow you go and play your players and you lose to Minnesota, it's even worse. So it would be really nice to respond to adversity here, get the win against Baltimore, get this thing back trending in the right direction, and hopefully the rest of the season can go a little more clean and a little bit easier. But right now, they've been going through it. There's no easy answer to anything right now. And they've got to find a way to step up, respond to it, and get this thing back trending in the right direction. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, because right now we have bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening right now, all at once. While you and I are out making decisions every single day, like which gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's Prize Picks. And I love how simple Prize Picks is to use, and more importantly, how fun it is to play. This football season's been even more fun with Prize Picks, and getting my picks in for each slate of games has been a super fun part of my football experience. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Jaden Reed to put on a show against Baltimore as Green Bay tries to clinch a playoff berth. I'm also looking for big games from Ashton Jeanty, Matthew Stafford, and Bijan Robinson. Now it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, so quick question for everyone. What's better, giving the perfect gift, getting the perfect gift, or making that perfect holiday meal for everyone when you're hosting a big holiday dinner? I go back and forth, but my true answer is giving the perfect gift. Well, the best part is that with Omaha Steaks, you can give the perfect gift, you can add it to the top of your wish list this holiday season, and you can order up some delicious Omaha steaks to cook your family and friends for your big holiday dinner. It's a win-win all the way around. Now, I love how convenient it is to order Omaha steaks and how much people love receiving them as gifts. I recently gave some steaks as a gift to a family member, and they were beyond overjoyed. It was a pretty cool moment. Also cooked up some Omaha steaks, and that was a pretty cool moment as well because they were absolutely delicious. And right now, it's the perfect time to save on delicious gifts and holiday hosting favorites. Surprise your friends or family members with the gift of grass-fed, grain-finished beef from a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com using promo code PACKADAY. Number five, beware Kyle Hamilton. Dude is everywhere. They'll play him at safety. They'll play him in the slot. Nickel linebacker. They will put him anywhere that he needs to be. If there's a matchup that's giving them problems, they will put Kyle Hamilton on the case. And whether it's trying to stop Josh Jacobs in the box or whether it's trying to keep an eye on Malik Willis, or they can use him in any way they desire. This defense for Baltimore usually goes as Kyle Hamilton goes. He's a stud. He's a star. They use him in so many different ways. You got to be cognizant of where he's at all times. It's kind of like opposing teams. It's different because I think Kyle Hamilton is a little bit more, they weaponize him more. I'll put it that way. I don't think he's necessarily more versatile, but they weaponize him more than Green Bay even weaponizes Xavier McKinney. But where other teams are kind of cognizant of where Xavier McKinney is during the game, you have to do the same for Kyle Hamilton. Hell of a player, and hopefully doesn't come up with any big plays in this one, because again, that has the ability to swing the game. Number six is you've got to contain the quarterback. Assuming it's Tyler Huntley, but even if it's Lamar Jackson, we talked about Quay Walker, we talked about Adrian Cooper, the defensive ends. This is going to be another game like Caleb Williams this past week against Chicago. You want to keep this quarterback contained into the pocket. Collapse the pocket around him. Don't let him get out. Don't let him scramble. Don't let him buy time. It's easier said than done. He's very quick. He's very athletic, but you've got to keep him contained into the pocket. And if you do, you're going to have a real chance. If you don't, it's going to be a really long day. So just like you did, or at least tried to do against Caleb for a good chunk of last week, keep him contained in the pocket. Hopefully that game plan kind of carries over. And I would expect a pretty similar game plan from Jeff Hafley that we saw last week against Caleb Williams, employed this week against Tyler Huntley, or again, if it is Lamar Jackson. Number seven, you've got to take advantage of turnover situations. Green Bay has been brutally bad at taking advantage of turnover situations, whether it's interception opportunities, whether it's quite frankly an onside kick recovery, which is, you know, them giving you the ball and you turning it over in that situation, whether it's, forced fumbles, or whatever it might be. Green Bay is not having the turnover production that they need to have, in large part due to them not catching the ball or taking advantage of those opportunities. So when they get them, they've got to take advantage of them, make Tyler Huntley and company pay. If Derrick Henry puts one on the ground, you better recover it. If Huntley gives you an opportunity to pick off a pass, you better pick it off. These games are different. If Xavier McKinney comes up with two interceptions the past 2 weeks, I'm not putting that on Xavier McKinney, but I bet I don't think Green Bay's 0-2 if he picks off both of those passes. You might still have Micah Parsons too. So when Green Bay gets those opportunities, they got to find a way to take advantage of it. Number eight, Ravens pass rush is really bad. It's not that dissimilar to Chicago. They just don't have the dudes up front to consistently get to the quarterback. Now, you don't have Zach Tom, but Jordan Morgan filled in well last week. I thought Belton played well. I thought that it was the best offensive line week of the season against Chicago last week. If Green Bay can do that again, and their offensive line plays well, and Baltimore can't get to, you know, Malik Willis, game on. Malik's going to have opportunities to hit some of those throws down the field. We've seen him hit those throws. Luke Musgrave on the play down the right side. Romeo Doubs for the touchdown. He'll hit those throws. So if you give him time and Baltimore struggles to get to the QB, that should be a huge advantage for the Packers. Number nine, you've got to get something out of your defensive tackles. Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, Riley, I mean, anybody at this point, just they are getting blown off the ball, especially Carl Brooks has had a really tough time with it. They've got to have a better plan. And maybe they try Bohanna, maybe they try something different this week. We'll see. They've got to have a better plan for how to get there, for how to really kind of maintain their gap integrity at defensive tackle. And then can you get anything from the pass rush? I did like LVN being moved inside last week. I think that's something that they have to go to a little bit more often. But LVN inside on passing downs and no Carl Brooks on rundowns just can't happen. He's far too light and he gets moved off his spot far too easily. That defensive tackle group has to find a way to step up in this game. Number 10, don't let Tyler Huntley get into a rhythm. We talked about it before, keep him in the pocket. But we saw a couple years ago, now I know it wasn't Jeff Hafley, Tyler Huntley puts up 30 and has an opportunity for a two-point conversion for the win at the end of that game. He gets in a rhythm, he will cook. No question about it. They can put up 30 with him at quarterback. He's a veteran. He's going to know what to expect. The Ravens will have him ready. And you've got to find a way to keep him uncomfortable. It's going to be tough because, again, he can move off his spot and move around and buy time, etc. And Green Bay's defensive front, we know, is not great at the moment. But you cannot let him get into a rhythm. Absolutely cannot let him get into a rhythm because, he'll put up 30 some points. If that's the case, like happened a couple of years ago, I don't love Green Bay's chances of putting up 31 or better to get that win against Tyler Huntley. Number 11, avoid the catastrophic mistakes and don't beat yourself. I don't even want to go into this anymore. We know the situations they've been in. We know the catastrophic mistakes that they've made. They beat themselves more than any other team has beat them, and they've got to find a way to knock it off. And if they can't, it is what it is, and they're going to lose more games, but they've got to find a way to play a cleaner brand of football and not make those catastrophic mistakes in key moments. Number 12, can you get the Ravens to not care? The Ravens are all but dead. They're technically still alive, but they're basically dead. Everyone in Baltimore knows it. Lamar Jackson probably is not playing, and you're playing in cold Lambeau Field with 2 weeks left. It's kind of been the season from hell for Baltimore. And just, you know, go up 14-3 or something and see if Baltimore still has a ton of desire to play super hard in that game. Now, John Harbaugh's a really good coach. He'll have them ready. He'll have them prepared. They'll go out and give it an honorable effort one way or the other. But if you get out to a lead, can you maybe take their soul away from a little bit? And if that's the case, then you get a much easier second half, which I would be all for, and maybe being able to coast a little bit in that second half and just get the win, right? Sign me up for that. We'll see if it could actually happen, but don't make them care. And if all of a sudden, you know, Baltimore has the lead and they're rolling and they're getting points, they're going to have fun. They're going to be like, yeah, this is great. We can keep doing this. So try to take their soul away from them early in this game. Those are my 12 keys. What do the injury situations look like and just who plays and who's effective? Contain Derrick Henry as best as possible. Have to have better red zone efficiency on offense. How do you respond to adversity? Beware of Kyle Hamilton. Contain the quarterback, I'm assuming again, Tyler Huntley. Take advantage of your turnover situations. The Ravens' lack of pass rush should give you the opportunity to throw the ball and plenty of time to do so. Need to get something out of your defensive tackles. Don't let Tyler Huntley get in rhythm. Avoid the catastrophic mistakes and stop the Ravens from caring if at all possible. Packers, last I checked, were 3.5-point favorites. They were 4.5-point favorites, and then the love news came out and it moved down to 3.5. Let me just double check it really quick as I'm recording this here to see if it's been changed, because it's been changing pretty rapidly. Still 3.5 for Green Bay as I'm recording this. When I expected love to play, I had 30-20 Packers. I'm going to say 23-20 Packers. Packers get the win, 23-20. I think there's a touchdown difference with no Jordan Love in this one, but Packers win 23-20, get back to their winning ways, and we'll see what that ultimately means for Minnesota and Green Bay next week. If Green Bay has something to play for, can still win the division, or if they basically get a bye in week 18. I'll be here for live pre and post game shows, so make sure to check that out. I will be at about 4 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Exactly. Yeah. So 4 p.m. Central Time for the pregame show, about an hour, hour and a half after the game is done. So probably about 11:30, I would assume I'll be back for the postgame show live on YouTube. So make sure to check those out. Packaday Podcast over on YouTube. Enjoy your game day, everyone. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jason Rimmon, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Stephen Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, and Jay Conner. Enjoy game day, everyone. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.